We have definitely had an amazing week. It's been a great honor and privilege to work with these six individuals this past week. And let me tell you, I know we really hyped this week up, you know, for a while. It's like every Sunday we were like, oh, best thing ever coming. But they definitely lived up to the hype. And so we're gonna call the Youth Build team, come up here and join us. There's definitely, you know, select moments from this week that have really stuck out to me personally, and so I'm very thankful for that, and to see those moments continue into really cool things that God's gonna do in our lives. But guys, have you guys had a pretty good week?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Well, I'm just gonna turn over them. If you guys could just introduce where you're from, what church you go to, and just maybe a little tidbit about Youth Builders.
Also say my name too.
Yeah, that's a good thing too. Yeah, so Youth Builders. Can we give them a round of applause?
Alrighty. Hey guys, my name's Nathan. I'm from Guelph, and my home church is Royal City. And then, sorry, was the last question?
Something about Youth Builders.
Yeah, all right. One thing I've learned on Youth Builders is that no matter where I go, I'm always with family, because I'm always visiting people in the body of Christ. And not only that, I have an extended family now with my Youth Builder team. So that's something there.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Zanting, and I'm also from Royal City Church in Guelph. And something I've learned over the course of Youth Builders, just a lot about myself and how I work, and really cool and awesome ways to interact and work with other people.
Hi, I'm Melissa Schuert from Kitchener, and my home church is Country Hills. Something I've learned from Youth Builders is conflict resolution, because in high school you don't always get taught to go directly to the person causing the problem, so that's something I've learned.
Why'd you look at me?
I didn't look at you.
My name is Chris Nakin. I'm from Kitchener, and my home church is Bethany EMC. And something that I've learned on Youth Builders is how to make genuine connections with people, especially my teammates, but also people that I'm meeting along the way, and it's been incredible.
I'm David Ottervine. I'm from New Dundee, and I go to Bethel EMC. Something that I've learned while being on Youth Builders is that it's a really cool program, and I've really enjoyed my time doing it so far.
Thank you.
And my name's Jared Prasad, and I'm from Sarnia EMC. And something I've learned about Youth Builders is definitely just how to connect with people, and then through that, how just God can work through the tiniest little thing, whether it be going out with someone for lunch or smashing eggs on your head as we did Friday night. So it's been a lot of fun. You might be wondering, though, Youth Builders seems pretty cool because there's six awesome individuals on stage, but I don't actually really know what that is. Well, I'm going to tell you. So essentially what Youth Builders is that we every week we go to a different church, and we've been all the way out to Vancouver and back again, just implementing into their culture at that church there, specifically their youth ministry, and working alongside some awesome people, youth and leaders, and just getting to know them and having fun and learning about Jesus. And so it's been a really cool experience, not just for me, but for everyone up here. And the theme that we've been doing this year is Unseen, and I've heard there was a little bit of promotion of that last week. And essentially what that is trusting Jesus in the midst of the unknown, because whether we realize it or not, Jesus is working in our lives. And the logo is our flashlight, is a flashlight, because it represents, even though we don't always know what's ahead, Jesus is our light, that through him we can see what, and he can guide us through the unseen parts of our lives. And so going forward after this week, we're actually heading to Ireland very shortly, in about 2 weeks' time now. And then we're going to be continuing in our ministry around in Ontario. So if you guys could be just continuing to pray for traveling safeties, and just continuing for God to reveal the connections that he has for us, that'd be really awesome. Feel free to come talk to us after the service. We're going to be actually selling some shirts at the back too. So meet up with any one of us, ask us for some cool stories, because we all have them. And yeah, we have a highlight video ready to go for those who weren't involved this week, just so you can see what we've been doing. But thanks again, it's been an awesome week to be back. You guys are all awesome, and I appreciate all your support throughout the year, not just for me, but for my whole team. So thanks, guys.
Let's welcome the Youth Builders, and they have our morning message. Let's just pray that God teaches us, that we're open to God teaching us through them as well, and we appreciate how we've learned from them over the course of this week. So whoever is leading, then off we go.
So every day, people all over the world use tons of different types of technology, but most people don't actually understand what they're using, like they don't understand how it works. So today we're gonna take a quiz that will show us how much we know about things that most of us use every day. Feel free to shout out any guesses you might have to what the pictures behind me might be. You guys are right, very smart, okay. So the computer circuit board is what makes our computers work. We don't have a lot of time to go into all of the functions of it, but yeah, basically it's what makes our computers work. Any guesses to this one? So this is a waveguide and a microwave. So the waveguide and a microwave is what carries out the high frequency waves that heat up our food. It's a phone battery, so this is what powers our phones. Without them, our phones would be dead. This is a flash bulb. So the flash bulb is what creates the flash when you take a picture with your camera. This is the last one. It's a little easier. The car ignition, right. So the car ignition is what starts our car, but how does it actually start our cars? It seems really simple. You put your key in and you're ready to go, but it is actually a very detailed process that requires a lot of different parts. I am absolutely horrible with cars. I'm probably the last person you want working on your car. So instead of me struggling to explain how this thing works, I'm gonna show you a video. Unseen elements that not everybody knows about or fully understands. But those elements are what makes the car work. Without them, the car would look completely different. This being said, whenever we get into a car, we're trusting that it's going to take us wherever we want to go without any bumps along the way, even though we don't fully understand how or why it works. For example, when we get into the car and we put our key into the ignition, we're trusting that the car is going to start, even though we don't know how or why the car will start. Even my year on Youth Builders is full of unseen elements that I don't fully understand yet. But here I am, trusting that somehow this experience will make an impact. All of us go through different situations, good or bad, that we don't fully understand yet either. Maybe we don't understand how or why a situation is happening in the first place or why the outcome is the way it is. Even the way Jesus works is an unknown process to us. So my question is, since we don't understand why Jesus works the way he does, why do we trust him?
So today, we are going to be working our way through Mark chapter 4, and in it, we're going to be talking about dirt. In the beginning of Mark chapter 4, there is the parable of the sower, where Jesus talks about four different types of soil. The four are the path, the rocky soil, the one with all the thorns and weeds, and the last one is the high-quality soil. With each of the first three, there are a couple problems that come along with it that make it difficult for the seed to grow. The first one, the path. When the seed falls on the path, it doesn't really have a chance to grow. It has a hard time because there are big birds that come out of nowhere, and they're big and red, and they have blue beaks, and they come down, and they take the seed away, and it does not have a chance to grow. Also, because it is a path, stuff walks on it, whether that's humans, cattle, or wagons that are going across it. The seed could get crushed, and it would die. Also, the condition of the soil is not healthy. It is so compressed that the seeds would have a hard time actually digging their roots into the ground to try and gain nutrients or water. The second one, the rocky soil, it has a couple problems of its own. But the seed does grow. It sprouts up quick. There's just enough soil and enough moisture for the seed to sprout and grow, but because there's so little, it can't really hold its own. When the sun comes out, it withers away. It is scorched, and it's not too pleasant. It gets kind of hot, and it withers away and dies. But there is another one as well. That is the thorny soil. And in it, we see that there's just a lot going on. There's a lot of other plants. There's a lot of other weeds that are growing. So when the seed is sown, or when it falls on this place, it has a very hard time growing because there's really big, big, big plants that are growing, and they're really mean. And so it doesn't give it a chance to grow. They corner it, and they smother it out. They can either take away the nutrients or the water, just making it very difficult for these seeds to grow. Something cool that happens later on in Mark 4 is that Jesus actually explains to us what he means by these soils, which is very interesting because in not a lot of his parables that he tells, does he actually explain what they mean. He kind of leaves it up to us to figure it out. But we know exactly what he means by these. So, with the first one, the path, he relates it back to us and how the soil of each condition is like us and how we accept Christ, or how we kind of come into an encounter with him. So a person who is like the path is a person who, when they hear the word, it doesn't really get to them. It says that Satan comes like the crows and he takes the seed away. He kind of blocks it off from us, and that person is unable to really understand it or fully get the full effect of it and not have it grow inside them. The second one, the rocky soil, is like a person who, when they hear the word, they're like, wow, yes, this is awesome. They accept it right away. They grow a bit. They grow it up quickly. But when the sun comes out, it scorches it. So, and the sun in everyone's life can be very different. It can be hard times, persecutions, difficulties, even just people judging them for their new way of their thinking or their new way of faith. They want to grow it, but there's so much beating down on them that they can't. It can't grow, and it withers away and dies. The third person, who is like the thorny soil, is someone who they're trying to grow it, but there's so many weeds and thorns and thistles in their life that it's very hard to grow. Now, these weeds and thorns, they can be different for everyone. And a couple of them that they might be can be money and wealth, trying to accumulate that and having that as your main focus. It could be our jobs. Our jobs can take up a lot of time, and having that kind of block out the other stuff that God calls us to have. It could even be relationships. Other relationships can kind of distract us from this relationship that Jesus calls us to have with him. There's also possessions as well. These things can be so many different things. It could be the latest piece of technology, cars, vehicles, homes, any of that. It can all kind of pile up, and that can be kind of the focus of someone's life. But there is a good side to this. There is the high quality soil. Now, you may be wondering, what makes up high quality soil? Well, we have a little bit of an example to show you guys and help you understand it. And I'm going to use pudding to demonstrate what good soil is like. So, there's a couple different characteristics. The first one is that it has to have sufficient depth. There has to be enough soil so that the roots can spread out and hang on and collect a lot of moisture and nutrients. Like we saw in the rocky soil, there wasn't enough. But we have a lot of pudding here. so you can tell that the seed will be able to grow, and it will be able to grow quite well. The second one is that it can't have a low, but also not an excessive amount of nutrients. It has to have just the right amount to grow to its full potential. We're going to use some cookie crumbs to describe that. So we'll throw those on there. Wow, that looks good. So now we have our cookie crumbs, or nutrients, in this soil, so that the seed can grow much better than it would without. The third one is that the soil has to have good drainage. It has to not be so compressed that the water will just stay on top and swamp out the seed, but it can't be too loose that the water will drain right through. This pudding is quite moist. It will hold its moisture, and the seed will be able to grow from it. The fourth one is that it has to have a large population of beneficial organisms, so that they can help kind of protect this plant while it's growing, or maybe it might be worms that aerate the soil so that oxygen can get to the roots. We're going to use Teddy Grahams to describe this because they're animals too. So we'll throw those on there, and it is looking very good and very tasty right now. The fifth and final one that I will mention is that it has to have good tilth. The soil has to be able to be plowed over, moved, so that new seeds can be planted and grow in fresh soil. So we'll mix that all up there. And wow, that is a good pile of pudding and cookies. There is actually one proven way that you can tell if you have good soil or not, and that's by tasting it. And if it tastes good, like that, you'll know you have good soil. I don't really suggest going around to a random farmer's field and tasting it to see if it's good or not. You don't know what he's put on it. So you might be in for a different treat. Anyways, so that is good soil. That is high quality soil, and that is what makes it up. So how does this relate back to this parable? Well, for a seed to grow, these conditions have to be met. It has to be able to grow, and each one of these things will help it grow. So when the seed falls on this soil, it sprouts up and grows. And it grows into a well-nourished plant. It has strong roots, and it is able to bear grain. But I think something cool that Jesus mentions at the end of it is that it doesn't just stop at that one grain. It spreads. Some 30, others 60, and others hundreds of times. He relates this back to a person who, when they hear the word, they accept it right away, and it grows inside them, and it grows well. And it doesn't just stop at them. It doesn't just stop at the one person and having it inside of them, and that's all. It spreads. And like I said earlier, it spreads a lot to multiple people, helping them go into better soil and having this faith grow inside them as well. You may be sitting here thinking, where am I? What condition of soil am I in? Are you on the path and you're just not getting it? It's not coming to you, it's blocked off. Or are you in the rocky place? You're amongst the rocks and there's just no foundation to your belief. It's hard because there's other things going on. There's a lot of stuff beating down on you, but you're not able to grow it because the soil there isn't enough. Or are you in the thorns? And simply put, too busy or too distracted for this relationship. There's so many other things going on that have your focus that you're unable to maintain it. Or are you in the good soil and you're ready to grow this seed? You're ready to have it grow within you, but not just stay inside of you, but grow to others. Help them grow in this. For me, right now, I'd say I'm in fairly good soil. I'm still growing. There's still a ways to go. But Youth Builders has been a huge part in this, in my life. It has allowed me to grow stronger in what I truly believe. It has tested me. It has been very challenging. But it has allowed me to really find out what I truly believe. As well, it has allowed me to help other people get into better soil through these experiences, through working in youth and other churches. Thank you.
David, I'm really glad you took that pudding because I heard it's really hard to eat and talk at the same time. Just saying. So, I want you guys to think back to a moment in your life where you are asked what you wanted to do with the rest of your life. All right? Now, hold that in your hold that moment in your head, okay? As someone who's been asked that very thing more times than he can count, I found it's actually a lot easier to answer that question if you actually have an answer to give them. And for a really long time in my life, it was a great frustration to me that I couldn't figure out where my life was going. I mean, in high school, I was a pretty good student. Had to try hard, didn't have to try hard in most courses. But I see the real issue I had was that even though I wasn't really bad at anything, I wasn't really excellent at anything either. I didn't have a passion for math or science. Working with computers got boring after a while. Writing was fun and all, but not something I could spend the rest of my life doing. And let's just say it would have been less pleasing to the ears during worship if I had been singing instead of cursed. It was so hard for me on heading out of high school to hear my friends talk about their plans on heading on into university. They would describe this intricate plan for their life in detail, while all I could do was muzzle up a puzzled look when they inquired about my own. I remember getting on my knees and praying to Jesus about this for a very long time of my life, begging him to tell me what I was supposed to do with the rest of it. And for an equal amount of time, getting nothing but a deafening silence as my only response. I was ticked. Why was it that everybody around me knew what they were going to do, but when it came to me, I was the one that was left in the dark? When high school started to wrap up, the looming threat of what I was going to do with the rest of my life followed me around like some kind of stalker. I was still freaking out, worried for what I was going to do with the next, hopefully, 80-ish years of my life. I mean, for the past couple summers, I had worked as a painter, and already invited back there to work after high school. And knowing that helped a bit, because when people were holding their university acceptance letters, I was at least able to say I was working for a year. But after much worrying, the inevitable graduation happened regardless of my not wanting it to. And you know what? Not much changed. Instead of going to high school every day, I just went to work every day instead. I still didn't want to do like a wax on, wax off thing with a paintbrush every day, but I still didn't have any inclination as to what I or Jesus wanted to do with me. Well, here's where we start to catch up to where I am right now. Right around last Christmas, a friend of mine let me know that Ledge Leadership was accepting applications for the Youth Builders program. Now, you're probably thinking that this was my massive light bulb moment, where everything became rainbows and sunshine, but this ain't that kind of sermon. You see, at an earlier point, I had seriously considered doing Youth Builders, but I was waiting for that tangible pull from God to shove me into sending my application. Well, that didn't happen, but something else did. You see, it wasn't until my friends started dropping out of university, switching majors, and completely reevaluating their previous etched-in-stone plans that an idea finally made sense in my head. No one on this earth can sit down and make a surefire, 100% correct plan for their life. And after years of trying to make sense of my purpose on this earth, after realizing it wasn't just going to be handed to me one day on a silver platter, I sat down at 3 o'clock in the morning and had a mini freakout session at God, quietly, because my parents were sleeping. So you're probably wondering where I went from there. Well, sitting there on my couch, having just flipped out at God for not letting me in on this little epiphany earlier, I came into yet another moment of realization. I didn't actually trust Jesus. I mean, I thought I had. I wanted to know what he wanted me to do with the rest of my life and trust him from there. But see, the thing is, though, is that it's hard for you to actually trust someone when the whole point of a relationship is that you don't know for sure what that person will do. I wanted to trust God on my own terms, but going back to what David was just talking about the condition of our soil, my heart was like the seed that fell into the rocky path. I had become so shallow in what my understanding of Jesus should look like, to the point where seeds of true trust couldn't grow in my life because the roots had nowhere to go. When you're in a relationship, trust is a two-way street. I wanted to feel comfortable. I wanted to know what to do with the rest of my life, and God wanted me to feel comfortable not knowing how the rest of my life was going to turn out. But he even met me where I was. And when I was finished high school, he gave me something to do. He gave me a job. And then after that job was finished, he gave me Youth Builders. Not something he would force me to do, but something that I wanted to do, where if I was going to succeed at it, I needed to trust him. He gave me things to focus on so that even if I didn't know what the rest of my life was going to look like, it didn't matter. That together, Christ and I could take on the next step of my life one at a time. And I could fully trust that he would be there beside me, because the fact that he would be there was the thing that really mattered to me in the first place. And finally, even though following Christ is hard sometimes, having the greatest being in existence walking alongside me is the most satisfying thing I've ever experienced. And even though I don't always know how, both my relationship with Christ and I as a person can grow in the midst of that.
Something we've been focusing on as a team is why trust Jesus. And just like Nathan, I found myself challenged with the same kind of difficulties of not knowing what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And for the sermon, I got to look pretty closely at Mark 4, verses 27 to 29. So I'm just going to read them for you. He goes to sleep and gets up, night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. By itself, the soil produces a crop, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the grain is ripe, he sends in the sickle because the harvest has come. Everyone has parts of their lives that are unseen, and that can be hard to wrap our heads around sometimes. But when we think about it, there are some things that are just a part of life that we fully accept without completely understanding how they work. I have a question. Did any of you consciously make yourselves grow? Because I didn't. But I never really questioned it, though. I just accepted that I didn't need to know how I grew in order for me to grow, and that it would happen whether or not I truly understood why or how. How I grew was something that was unseen to me. It's the same way with plants. Now, I'm not a farmer, and I don't study plants for a living, but from what I learned in high school, which was not extensive, I understand the basics. And nowadays we have Google, so if I had any questions, I could just Google it. What I do know about seeds and plants, though, is that they do not require us to understand how they grow in order for them to grow. We can have confidence that they will grow even though we don't know how, right? A seed doesn't need a human to understand everything in order to grow. It needs sunlight, water, soil with nutrients, and time. And sometimes it needs the help of a farmer. The farmer from the parable of the growing seed puts this into practice with his livelihood. His whole occupation is about growing and nurturing his crops, his seeds. But he's completely content not knowing every little detail about how exactly it works. He doesn't know how they grow physically, but he's not bothered by not knowing either. He doesn't worry himself about that. I was wondering how many people like to wait for their Christmas presents. Because I hated it as a kid. I'm someone who just gets really curious and then I get really annoying and I'd pester my parents and I would search the house because I just wanted to know so bad. And I would worry and worry and worry. And I would worry about not knowing. But even though I worried, I didn't get any of my presents any faster. I still got them at the same time as everyone else, and eventually that clicked with me. I don't have to worry. I just have to be patient because worrying doesn't make anything better. Doesn't make my presents come any faster. The farmer from this parable didn't know how his seeds grew, but he didn't worry himself about that, because he had confidence that the seed would grow even though he didn't understand why. When we think about trusting in Jesus, it might be intimidating that we don't know how he works, but we can have confidence that he is going to do his work whether or not we understand completely. We don't have to worry about not understanding, because that doesn't make him work any faster or any different than he already does.
Well, as I'm sure you know probably by now, we're talking a lot about plants this morning. And so plants take time, care, and sometimes a little patience in order for them to grow. I know that for my family, this concept was something sometimes a little bit too difficult for us to grasp. Whether it was a gift or just my mom's attempt at having a greener thumb, it probably wouldn't last longer than a week. Actually, if it lasted longer than a week, it was like the most invincible plant on earth, as far as my family was concerned anyway. So speaking of amazing plants, how many of you know what a mustard seed is? A couple of you? Awesome. Well, it looks something like this. It's pretty tiny, isn't it? Now, there are a few different types, as I've learned from Google as well, and some produce a plant that we see in Canada. And from there, we get a yellow mustard that a lot of people love to squeeze on their hot dogs and on their hamburgers and on their sandwiches, which I personally think is really disgusting, but that's a whole other topic. Now, for those of you who have maybe no idea what I'm talking about, the mustard seed, as spoken about in the Bible, is one of the smallest seeds you can find on earth and find in the garden. And what makes it so amazing is that it can grow into a tree-like bush with strong branches and leaves that, when the conditions are right, it can grow to be approximately 10 to 15 feet high and just as wide, something like that on the screen. Pretty crazy, right? Something that small could turn into something that big. Now, if we look at Mark 4, verses 30 to 32, Jesus uses the parable of the mustard seed to help us understand our faith and the growth of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Now, we could see in the Bible that Jesus started the kingdom of God with his 12 disciples, who went out to share the good news. His disciples planted seeds of faith into so many people's lives, bringing more people into the kingdom of God. It's the same idea when we think about our impact on the kingdom of God. You may feel like your impact on someone's life by maybe sharing your faith, or telling them you're a follower of Jesus and a relationship with him, or maybe even a small part of your testimony is making little to no influence on their life. But God works in wonderful ways, where our influence or impact may be as small as that little mustard seed, but the outcome from that small act is just the beginning of something incredible. And it can actually grow to change someone's life, and to help them grow into their own strong faith and in their own relationship with Jesus. And as each person becomes a follower of Jesus and follows in his footsteps, and as they share and bring more people into the kingdom of God, they're planting more seeds and bringing more people into the kingdom of God, which is pretty amazing, if you ask me. Now, the kingdom of God is expectant of great and wonderful things. Even though it may seem like in the beginning it's only making a tiny impact, maybe like that little mustard seed, and it may go unseen. But our part in the creation of God's kingdom may seem really small, but it's the start of something incredible, like a plant with strong branches and leaves that bears beautiful flowers. You may also think that your faith is small and goes unnoticed, but through our relationship with Jesus, our faith can grow to be 1,000 times larger than we ever thought it could, even through the things in our life that come our way that we aren't prepared for or still don't understand to this day. We can still grow to be a strong follower of Jesus Christ when we surround ourselves with good soil, as David was talking about earlier. Now, I can remember countless times, specifically in high school, when I had doubted the effect my faith could have on someone. It seemed like this really tiny thing in my life that had so much value to me, but was so insignificant to those around me. I knew that my non-Christian friends didn't become friends with me because they thought I would turn them into Christians and all that wonderful stuff. But sometimes, I kind of hoped they did during high school, because it would make my faith seem like it was a little bit bigger than it felt like it was being in front of everyone else. It felt like it was actually shining and having moments where it stood out. And to be honest, there's still times where it feels like that. Sometimes my faith feels like it's really small and that it's not making impact on anyone. And it probably will for a lot of times in my life. But as I've come to learn on Youth Builders, that my faith actually doesn't have to seem that small at any point in my life, I realize that I don't need to figure out a way to save the world, but as I serve God and see my faith grow, making an impact, even if it's small as that little mustard seed, God will help to continue that impact. And I know that I have to trust in God even when I don't understand how my faith can impact others. Now, we have to keep in mind that a tree still continues to grow. It is always dependent on water and sunlight to survive, just like how we are always, always growing in our faith and have to continue to rely on and trust in Jesus to help us grow in our faith and to lead us through the things that we just don't understand.
Our year in Youth Builders consists of a lot of different things, from relational ministry, different youth events and stuff, to doing something just like this where we do the message on a Sunday morning. Each week that passes has its individual challenges, both personally and together as a team. And during our training period in August and September, we are able to learn to be vulnerable with each other and share our personal challenges with each other, so that over time we could start to rely on one another as a support group. Because the reality is, we don't know what to expect from week to week, whether it be here in Sarnia, somewhere else in Ontario, you know, Western Canada, or even Ireland. You see, if we trusted on our own individual thoughts and feelings, we could never do what we do. Our year is constantly filled with unknowns, and we need to learn how to work through those things through our relationship with each other and through our relationship with Jesus. Something you may find interesting about me is that I never actually intended to apply to Youth Builders. In fact, I intended not to at one point. Some friends had suggested the program to me before, but I kind of shut down that idea. Instead, I had a plan in my mind that I was going to go into a college or university, get into a good career, and the rest of my life would fall into place nicely. Something ministry-related like Youth Builders was the last thing on my mind. The problem was that no matter how hard I looked or prayed, I couldn't find anything that I was interested in or passionate about for almost 2 years. And I was getting frustrated with myself and with God because, you know, over and over again, applications needed to be due, and I still wasn't finding anything. Similar to Nathan, it took me many months before I realized that I actually wasn't letting go and trusting Jesus in the midst of this unknown I was having in my life. And the only reason I couldn't figure out this unknown was that I actually just wanted to figure it out all on my own. I thought I was trusting Jesus, but the reality was I was only saying that I did. So even though I was frustrated and afraid to see what might happen, I gave it over to God, this problem I was having. You know, I kind of just told him, I obviously can't figure this out on my own. It's been a 2-year process. Just show me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And sure enough, something crazy happened for me doing that, because I checked my email inbox, and there was the Youth Builder application. The type of program I had no intention of doing, the last thing on my mind, but sure enough, that's what God wanted me to do, so here I am doing it today. You know, that's just one example for me, and I still have plenty of unknowns in my life. In fact, one of them is I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing next year after Youth Builders, the same unknown I had last year. So I'm still a mess, don't worry about that. This time, however, my mindset is different, because I've learned that trusting Jesus in my unknown, even when I still don't know what is ahead, can make all the difference. No matter the condition of my soil, like David and Nathan talked about, no matter if the seed grows without me knowing how, like Caitlin talked about, because the reality is, if I trust in the kingdom of God, the impact on my life is going to be huge, just like Kirsten talked about. And you know, there are probably stories for each of us in the parables of Mark 4 that we've talked about today. So why trust Jesus? Personally, I think it's really about knowing that the kingdom of God is about having faith and believing in unseen things. And when we can do that, we can trust Jesus. Only then can we really go into what is unknown and unseen, because we have Jesus changing how we act and live out our faith in our everyday lives. So I want to encourage you as a team that if there are any unseen or unknowns in your own life and you're trying to figure it out on your own, that learning to rely on Jesus and trust him will help give you the hope and endurance to go through whatever it may be. Can I pray for you guys before I go? Cool. God, thank you that we don't have to have it all figured out, but that you are always there, you are always working, even when we don't see it. You know, it might take some time, God, but thank you that you give us hope and endurance, that you have the plan already set out for us, even when we don't always know what it could be. Amen.